Well, good morning and greetings in Jesus' name. What a blessing to be able to gather like this. I know, we take it for granted. We talked a little bit this morning about places of persecution where they don't have this opportunity like we do. Appreciated the Sunday school hour, and there's a lot we should have started at least a half an hour earlier or more, because there's a lot of good content in there, but you can pick that up after church as well. And I appreciated Daryl's devotions, and it tied in well with the subject of today. But in thinking about saints, you know, if you're like me, your mind kind of associates that with older people, not children or youth or even young people. And Daryl pointed out, and it's true, saints are not just old people. Anyone who loves the Lord and is living for Christ is a saint. I'm preaching a sermon that was given as a suggestion today. Somebody under the age of 20, tell me what today is. Anybody? Doran. National Grandparents Day. Thank you. All right, so we're going to talk about grandparents a little bit here. And Grandparents Day, when we think about grandparents, I know maybe our minds go a certain way, but it is true, not everybody has the same experience in relating to grandparents or having grandparents, and so some people's association or their story isn't as nice as maybe the normal picture, but there is a beautiful picture and experience with grandparents and grandchildren, that the way God has it set up and designed, there's a special relationship there. Two quotes that might give a little picture into that. Grandfathers are just antique little boys. Grandmas never run out of hugs or cookies. And those quotes kind of, they kind of put in that little association that, yeah, like, we kind of like those pictures and those relationships and some of those. Another quote I ran across, the best babysitters, of course, are the baby's grandparents. You feel completely comfortable entrusting your baby to them for long periods, which is why most grandparents go to Florida. These quotes are not original with me. That was Dave Barry. So just a little bit of history on Grandparents' Day. We usually think of grandparents as fairly old, and they're not as old as they used to be. Does anyone here know how old Grandparents' Day is? How long it's been going, like National Grandparents' Day? I'll tell you here in a minute. Marion McQuaid, a West Virginia mother and grandmother, started National Grandparents' Day, a movement she began in 1970. To recognize the value and contributions of senior citizens and to foster connection between generations. After some years of advocacy, her efforts led to a 1978 joint resolution from Congress that was signed by President Jimmy Carter, officially proclaiming the first Sunday after Labor Day as National Grandparents' Day in the United States. The first official Grandparents' Day was actually held in 1979, though. But I found it very interesting that if I'm not correct, our youngest grandpa here is the same age as National Grandparents' Day. It was signed in 1978. And I believe Jerry is the youngest grandpa here, and he's in 1978. I believe his birthday is next week, or I forget. Was it already? Okay. Yeah. So anyway, I found that very interesting. But I'm also curious, who all here is a grandparent? And I mean an actual, like, not just because you're a great parent, you're a grandparent. All right. Not a lot. Who all here plans to be a grandparent? Okay. None of us know what God has in store for our lives, do we? Some people make it to that stage. Some never do. Some are close to that stage. But in pondering this, you know, I had to think of people like John Risser and Ronnie Martin, and there's others that were who had a family, and yet they never got to see their grandchildren in this life. In a sense, they never really became a grandpa. Or the grandchildren might talk about grandpa, but they never knew him, and he was never. And so, yeah, we don't know. What all God's plan for us is in that. But this message is a little unique to preach. And as you might recall, I preached the Mother's Day sermon, and then on Father's Day. And then there was a request for a youth message, so I preached to the youth. And then it was also given a suggestion to preach Grandparents' Day message, and happened to be my turn as well on today. Maybe Delbert orchestrated that intentionally, I don't know, but I am a father. I was a youth. I never was, and I will never be a mother. And only God really knows if I'll ever be a grandpa. I thought of the saying, only the best dads become grandpas. What if that was true? What if there was a best dad kind of line that you had to measure up to, and if you didn't, you just couldn't become a grandpa? Well, we'll let that go. Statistically speaking, probably most of us eventually may become a grandparent. So if you're here this morning, you can listen and maybe tuck a few of these things away for 100 years from now. Okay, before you know it, it could be here a few years down the road. So the title of the message is Godly Grandparents. And I believe grandparents in general are loved and they show love. But I believe godly grandparents can love and support their families in an even deeper way than those without Christ. Another question for you. Does the Bible actually specifically mention anything about the word or an actual word referring to grandparents? Any of the words that we use? Yes. What? Yeah. That's the only word that specifically talks about grandpa or grand, you know, as far as a grandparent. Grandpa and grandma is not mentioned. Grandparents not mentioned. Any of those words. But grandmother is. So the grandmothers have something in the Bible that the grandfathers don't. And we're going to look at that. But before we get there, I would like to look at some verses that refer to grandparents. And some of these will refer also to aged people. And often they are grandparents as well. But to start with Deuteronomy 4:9, I have three sections of some verses and thoughts we'll look at here to begin. And start with that Deuteronomy 4:9. It says, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them to thy sons and thy sons' sons." And so there's in this Deuteronomy 4:9, it's words of warning to parents and to grandparents. Take heed to keep your soul diligently. Don't forget what God has done for you. And teach those who are coming after you. It says your children and grandchildren. Proverbs 17, verse 6 says, "Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers." This crown and glory, it's only truly real when the children and grandchildren follow in the footsteps of faith. To have that crown of glory. In fact, we'll back that up with 3 John 1:4, and it's taken a little bit out of context, but he said, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." And I believe John was writing here to his spiritual children. But I think the thought applies to any parental or church authority or anyone that has children coming after them. And if you want your children and grandchildren to be a crown of glory to you, take heed, be diligent, and teach them to love God. All right, the second little section here is taken out of 2 Timothy 1, 3 through 5, where it talks to Paul's writing Timothy. 2 Timothy 1, verse 3. "I thank God, whom I serve with my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I might be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." And we see in these verses, Paul gave recognition to Timothy's faithful grandmother and how her unfeigned or her sincere faith had passed down to his mother and then also on to him. And we know how Timothy's father was a Greek, and it seems like he was not, it doesn't ever talk about him as being part of the faith. So what a powerful testimony this is, looking at this verse and how it seems like the impact on Timothy's life was through his mother and especially his grandmother, her choice to follow Christ. And that's a powerful testimony to the impact mothers and grandmothers can have on their children and on their grandchildren. All right, and the last section or passage here I'll look at is Titus 2. And we'll look at verses 1 through 7. Titus 2, 1 through 7. And in this passage, there's a list for the aged men, which could be grandpas, what they're to be, and a list of what the aged women, grandmas, are supposed to be. And then he finishes with, he talks about the young women and the young men, and he finishes with what Titus himself should be. And as we read this, wherever you belong, you know, like I said, even if you're young, eventually someday you might be in an older bracket, and in a grandparent bracket, or aged, and this very likely could be you eventually. So let's read Titus 2. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. In all things showing thyself, Titus, a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Like I said, I don't know if Titus was, and I don't know how old he was. But likely he was on the older side of life. And Paul gives him the responsibility to teach the aged men, the aged women, and the young men. And then in verse 7, Paul came back to Titus again, and he tells him how he's to live his life as a pattern for the rest of them to follow, to be an example, to live above anyone's reproach. And that should be each of our desire. What Paul tells Titus should be, and he was probably telling him this because he was a church leader, but this should be for each one of us as well. Let's go back through the list that Titus was to teach the aged men. And we'll look at each of those words and look at Strong's definitions. And some of them may carry a little different twist than what we normally use the words as. So, number one, we have the word sober. He said that the aged men be sober. And it has the idea of being vigilant, careful, and wary. He also says be grave. Grave means honorable and honest. Be temperate, meaning self-controlled. And I had a little note on that, especially referencing like opinions and passions. And then it changes a little bit, that they're supposed to be sound in faith. There means they have their reliance upon Christ for salvation. Sound in charity. Strong says love that is affection. Benevolence. I had to look up what's benevolence. Refresh my mind. Goodwill and kindness. Sound in patience. Has the idea of cheerful or hopeful. Endurance. All right? And the Amplified Bible, after this list, it tucks in the idea of these traits display a Christ-like character. So these aged men, the point of this list is that when they live this, they're displaying a Christ-like character. And then we'll look now at the aged women. Likewise, it says, we'll read that again, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. What's he saying to them? Be in behavior as becometh holiness. Has the idea, a demeanor of reverence and solemn respect. The second thing, not false accusers. Another word maybe translated here would be slander. And it's similar to gossip, and yet slander has the idea of intentionally saying things that run somebody into the dirt, to hurt them or their reputation. And I found a note on that. The word Paul uses here is the Greek word for devil, diabolos, and it is an apt word because malicious gossip is diabolical in its source and character. So I know we talk about gossip sometimes. He's just, apparently they had some problems with that, or else it's nature. But he says it's in nature, in its source and characters, is from the devil. So we need to keep that in mind if we're saying something that is hurting people's reputation or running them in the dirt. What? The third thing he says, not given to much wine. And while I believe this verse is teaching self-control and against getting drunk, I'm thankful our church has a clear line on this, and I believe it avoids a lot of potential headaches and heartaches when we simply abstain from alcohol. There's many, many stories to examples of that. And number four, teachers of good things. Teachers of good things. What are the good things? Teachers of good things. Simply teaching that which is good and right. One translation said, models of goodness. Are you a model of goodness? So these are some of the principles that the Bible teaches for grandparents and older ones. Now we're going to take a little turn. There's another side of grandparents in older age that can be more of a struggle. And that's when maybe they can't keep up with fast pace of life and may start to feel left behind or forgotten. And I have a few more verses to look at for the encouragement of the elderly. And the first one is Isaiah 46:4. Isaiah 46:4, he says, "And even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you." And this verse brings out the thought of God's faithfulness through life, even as we grow older, feel like maybe we can't do much, can't do as much. He says he will carry, he will deliver, he will be faithful. Psalm 103:17, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children." The phrase, his righteousness, is talking about justice and prosperity to the grandchildren of those that fear the Lord. God wants to bless the families that love him, and I believe he does. He does, and he will. In his perfect way. It may not look the same for everybody, but I believe God is faithful in blessing those who follow him. Psalm 92:12-14. "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age." And these verses portray the strength and stability of someone who, because of their long and deep relationship with God, they are anchored. They are stable. Being anchored in God, they can continue to produce fruit of the Spirit in their lives, and be a blessing to those around them. This deep relationship with God is beautiful and is often found in Christian grandparents. In thinking of of getting older, though, and hard times, I would like to share a devotional, and maybe some of you's read this out of the Stillwater, beside the Stillwaters. But it's titled Losing Ground, Gaining Altitude. We were encouraged when we visited a dear brother in the Lord who has been afflicted with Parkinson's disease for several years. His body has deteriorated steadily, and he has been reduced to sitting in a wheelchair and needing constant care. It is hard to see a formerly vibrant, healthy man ravished with such cruel disabilities. But Parkinson's has not conquered his soul and spirit. His mind is remarkably clear and his spirit strong so that he has spiritual wisdom to share. He commented that he is waiting for the Lord to come and deliver him from the rundown body he lives in. While we were visiting, he said, "I'm losing ground, but I'm gaining altitude." What may seem like a paradox is really a tremendous truth. Our brother meant he was losing ground physically, but spiritually he was gaining altitude and getting closer to heaven. He was a living testimony of 2 Corinthians 4:16, "Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Our brother's constant longing has been to make the final journey to be with the Lord. The sooner the better. God wants us to be gaining altitude toward him. He desires this is not just for those who are stricken with age and disease, but for all of us who are still living. Whether healthy or not, we are all losing ground as it relates to our spiritual bodies. Our natural life is heading in a downward spiral towards our entrance into eternity. We do well to plan ahead for that time, all the while gaining altitude in a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Our brother stirred us with this strong yearning to gain altitude with the Lord. And I thought it's a part of getting older that we don't like to think about a lot. This is losing our physical strength. And yet, so many times, it's a real part of age. In fact, David Huber used to say, "Keep coming," and all there at the tire shop, most of us were quite a bit younger than him. And he said, "Keep coming, brothers," he said, "life is good." And I used to remind him, "David, a lot of people your age don't have it as good as you do." And we know the time came for David where God took him home. His journey came to an end here. And I think it's a reminder that life is not forever here. Life is good, but life is not forever here. So what are some things that we can take from in thinking about this story and how this man blessed those that came to visit him? And I wrote down just a couple things. You're never too old to impart godly vision and wisdom. You are never too old to be an encouragement to others. You are never too old to leave a godly example. You are never too old to show love to others. And you are never too old to pray for others. So while it may feel like it may be a temptation to feel less left behind and feel neglected, do not minimize the impact that you can have on your family and the church. Grandparents, your faithful example will stabilize those around you, just as the lack of it can create waves into others' lives. I'd like to read Psalm 92:12 again. "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon." And I looked at that. What's significant about the cedar trees? They were used in multiple temple buildings and different special houses and that kind of thing. And I found that the analogy of a cedar tree represents spiritual health and strength. "He shall grow like a cedar tree in Lebanon." Another thing, your prayers for the church may be the strongest prayers reaching the throne of God. We talked about that deep relationship an older person has had the opportunity, in most cases, in our culture, to develop with God. And James 5:16 says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And I believe this means men and women who are righteous. God hears the prayers of his people. I'd like to close with a poem. Author is unknown, but "In the eyes of a grandparent, we see God's light, a reflection of love that shines ever bright. With patience like eternity and hearts full of grace, they show us the beauty in life's warm embrace. Through stories from Scripture and prayers shared in time, they teach us the lessons that help us to climb. With unwavering faith and a spirit so free, they guide us toward all that we're meant to be. On this special day, dedicated to them, we honor their lives, our true diadem. Happy Grandparents' Day to those we hold dear. Your godly example brings us such cheer." I'm thankful to have godly grandparents among us, both physically and spiritually. So may God bless each of you as you serve, as you live and serve through the seasons of life. Let's kneel for prayer.